You're listening to Stages. I'm Regina Botros. And as I said, we are talking with Paige Rattray this evening. She is currently the Associate Director at Sydney Theatre Company. She previously Associate Artistic Director at Queensland Theatre. I went on and on about all the great things that she's done, and she's here with us to talk about her life in the theatre and the things that she's doing now as part of Sydney Festival. Welcome, Paige Rattray.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So we'll get into Queen Fatima very shortly, which is a festival event. But before we get into that, I want to get a sense of where you are from. So where did you begin life?
I began life in Tasmania. So I was born in a place called Scottsdale in Tasmania. It's about 1 hour out of Launceston, and I grew up in the country.
Wow. So was it Were your parents creative? Like, what was it like as a child for you?
No, not at all. Like, they're not creative at all. My mum is a nurse and she worked in a doctor's surgery, and my dad raced horses. So we were kind of very much left to our own devices as kids because we grew up in the country. We sort of didn't have many people around us. So I think that's perhaps where my theatre imagination came from. we read anything we liked. We kind of did anything we liked. My mum didn't necessarily police anything that I was reading, so I could kind of like let my mind go free, I guess, in that respect.
Is there something particular that you read that might have, like, you know, can for an, as an example?
I was obsessed with fantasy fiction, David Eddings, all of his series of books, like absolutely completely obsessed. I do remember once actually reading that. Can you remember that terrible book, Flowers in the Attic?
Oh, I do.
And I read it when I was like really young. One of my mum's friends came to the house and they're like, oh my God, what are you reading that book? And she's like, oh no, Paige is reading it. And they were like, oh, do you know what's going on in that book? And oh God, you know, it was quite raunchy.
I can't wait for a stage version of Flowers in the Attic.
Terrible. I was laughing about it with someone the other day. You should read the synopsis online. It's hilarious.
Is it okay? I will. So how did it come from Flowers in the Attic to you being such, you know, a well-known director around the traps?
Well, I didn't really happen upon directing until later. I was more of a performer, but I think we had a strong drama department through primary school and high school. And although we didn't necessarily see many productions, it would just be kind of like traveling theatre and ed productions that would come to our school. We did put on a lot of productions, you know, within the school. And we often wrote our own and staged, you know, what would now be, I'd think we're terrible, but we thought they were fabulous at the time. So I guess that's where that part of my life came from. But then I had 5 years off and just sort of worked in hotels and bars before going back to uni. And I went back to uni because I thought I wanted to be a drama teacher, but I started directing while I was there and then I caught the bug.
Okay. So, but you initially were more of a performer, would you say?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess always a creator. I guess I always thought I would like to be an actor, but I didn't really see the opportunity for that in Tasmania. So I was always about being a drama teacher.
So from drama teacher to director, how did that happen? What was the bug that you caught?
Well, in my third year of uni, so the degree, I did a Bachelor of Contemporary Arts in Theatre, and the degree that I did was, you basically did a little bit of everything. So not only performing, but you would stage manage productions, you would do lighting, mech, sound, all of those things. And there was a theatre company attached to the university. And so in our third year, we direct a production, and I directed a play called A Gaggle of Saints by Neil LaBute. And I just, you know, I don't know, it was just a feeling and experience that I'd never had performing. I guess I had never felt quite fulfilled, and I also felt like the roles that we were getting to play weren't the greatest roles. And I thought, oh, maybe if I direct some of these plays that I like, then everyone, you know, will start doing more of these kinds of shows. And then I got the bug and I never went back. So my lecturer at the time, Peter Hammond, he encouraged me to apply for the directing course at NIDA, which I thought I would have, you know, not a hope in hell of getting into, but I miraculously did. And then I sort of went on from there.
Is that the leap across the bight? Is that when you came to Sydney?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was in Tassie till then, so that was in 2009. I came to Sydney.
Wow. And when did you open? So you started co-founded your own theatre company. Arthur, what drove that?
I was working at Griffin actually. So I got an affiliate director position there when I finished at NIDA because I was interested in new work. And it actually came out of reading, like, while I was there, I was reading all of the plays that were coming into the company. And there was one play in particular, The Sea Project by Elise Hurst, that I thought was extraordinary. And so did someone else who was working there, Belinda Kelly. And so we ended up, Arthur really came about it because we really wanted to see this show on stage. We thought it was extraordinary, and we didn't think that those kinds of plays were getting a voice in the industry. And so it sort of really just came out of that, and then we just kept on going. So we decided that we needed to do another more well-known play of Elise's called Dirty Land so we could get the Sea Project up at Griffin in the independent program. So we thought, oh, that was our kind of plan of attack, I guess. And then we just kept on making work. We made a lot of works and toured to a lot of places. It was a really beautiful time, actually. Yeah.
So what is it about like new Australian work that you draws you, or how do you know when it's it?
I think it's a creating of new worlds. It's completely new. I like that it's completely new and it's the first time that it's ever been there. So I very much like working with writers. I like going on that journey with them and knowing all the intricacies of their thoughts and their process and how that works. I feel like I'm really inside it. I don't have that same feeling with other works I think that have been done before because they've had that collaborations happen with someone else. But it was interesting when I was working on Beauty Queen of the Nen, I sort of got to this point of rehearsals where I could sort of hear the director in the piece as well. It was really, it was sort of spooky, but really cool.
You mean it was sort of outside of you? Is that what you mean?
I don't know. It was really odd. I can't really explain it. I could feel her brain in the work. It was really odd. It was, I'd never experienced anything like that before, but
Because it, because you, yeah, you think of, a play when you read it, you visualize it as the director or actor, you feel the characters. But in a way, are you suggesting that maybe the director was also written in it? It's such a great play. So sad.
Oh, it's such a great play,
Engaged.
isn't it? Yeah,
Yeah.
I love it. It was
But,
extraordinary. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think as someone who works on new work so much, I know how much you put into that process of creating a new play. And so I guess even down to the rhythms and it was a sort of strange thing. But I think, that's because McDonough's so clear and you can read all of his works. Like he's such a brilliant writer that his writing can allow for that, I think. Yeah.
So how do you ta tackle a work as a director then? Is there sort of a go-to for you when you first start?
Yeah. I mean, it's every writer's different. It's always different. I mean, the first thing first is like the idea and what they want to say or what questions they want to ask. But yeah, I guess I try and be as adaptable as possible. So I have like a sort of strict dramaturgical process that I use,
Oh, yeah.
but I will adapt that to whatever works for that writer.
Can you give us a clue? Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's really simple. It's really simple. It's just breaking a script down into kind of main events and mini events within that. And there's a few simple rules that I would use, but you get like a sort of mind map of the whole play, and you get it up on the wall, and you can see where things are repeated or not, or where they're called back, or if there's too many, if blah blah blah. It's like
Yeah.
it's pretty boring actually when you think
No, I find it interesting. Because
Like,
it's a good tool for
oh, listen to my
writing as
boring,
well.
listen to my boring process on your radio show. No. Yeah, it is. I mean, it is quite, that's quite strict, but within that, it's like everyone needs different things from you.
Yeah.
And so I just try and figure out, what I can do to make the process as enjoyable and thorough as possible.
Well, you're listening to Stages, and I am talking with director Paige Rattray. So I know that you're working on something now, Queen Fatima, but I don't want to exclude this as well, of course. But I wondered if there was some particular production that you've done that you were like, uniquely, was it Beauty Queen of Lanaine, or like a pivotal point, or something that was most challenging or most proud of?
I think probably Black is the New White by Nikia Louie. I feel like that play kind of brought together all of the things that I'd learned in the years before that. And it was just a really, really a special play, but a really special group of people. They've kind of, you know, we've all become big family. We all talk to each other. We wouldn't go a week without messaging in our group message. We just spent so many years together, you know.
Yeah, because it went on for a big tour.
Yeah, it was just, really special. And there was a kind of, I don't know, there was a chemistry to that show that really made it work. But I also felt like I was really stretched as a director, and I enjoy that, yeah. Mm.
So tell me about Queen Fatima. It seems apt because she's a beauty queen, right? Or she's going for it. Tell me a little bit.
That's funny. I didn't even think of that. So James Alazzi, he's a part of our Emerging Writers Program at Sydney Theatre Company, and that's how we met. And we both, I think, immediately liked each other, and I think we kind of have a similar kind of outlook on the world, and very much a similar sense of humour. Yeah. And so he came to me with this play through National Theatre of Parramatta, and it was when we had just come out of lockdown, and we did a reading of it online, and it was just like a breath of fresh air. It was like, you know, the clouds had parted and we were bathed in sunlight.
We need that, yes.
I know, right? And everyone at the end of it were laughing and joking, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. You know, I hadn't had that feeling for a really long time. And it's just so packed full of like joy and warmth and humor. And so James and I started working on it. It was quite a quick process. And it was picked up for Sydney Festival. So sort of, you know, I think it was like 6 months from Woe to Go that we started. It's really fast. Yeah, it's very fast. So hopefully too the play can have another life, you know.
Yeah, because it's already got a wait list now.
Yeah, I know.
Which is great.
It's great.
It's only on to the 16th of January.
Yeah, it's super fun. It's such a fun show.
But it's based at like a Queen Lebanon?
Australia. Oh, yeah, sorry. I haven't even told you what it's about yet. Queen Fatima, she is a Lebanese girl who works in her family bakery. And she is seeing a guy called Karim. And she's been seeing him secretly for 3 years. And she's decided it's finally time that they tell their parents, but he doesn't want to because his family are quite judgmental because of class. His family are lawyers, but also because of appearance. And so she decides that with the help of, she has a 73-year-old best friend called Garda who does coffee cup readings for her.
Oh, great.
And so through this coffee cup reading, she comes to believe that she needs to enter Queen Lebanon Australia, win, and become the number one Lebanese woman in Australia. And his parents will accept her. And so she goes to enter the competition. She goes and has an interview, and they're looking for a diverse group of girls this year. And because she's a bit chubby, they decide to let her in. And she goes on a, you know, big journey of self-discovery. And obviously I won't tell you the end, but I may say that, you know, Karim may not be in the picture at the end.
So it's great because it's like race, gender, beauty, size, all of these kind of real issues now, contemporary issues.
Absolutely. And I think it was interesting working on it actually because, you know, I do, like we have seen all of those things, just not in this combination. And in a strange way, it's a play that talks about the advantages of what a quota system can do how it can kind of change your world. Yeah, it's in a subtle way, but it's really, well, it's interesting, you know, the only reason why she gets in the pageant is because the organizer wants to have a diverse year, which means like one person who doesn't look like a supermodel, if you know what I mean. But she changes the course of all of their lives drastically and her own. And, you know, it wouldn't have happened if the quota wasn't there in the first place. So, in an odd way, that's sort of what it's doing.
This is on this week. You're also kind of mentoring to director Sunshine Supergirl, Andrea James. I wonder, do you like, have you had mentors? And what is it to be a mentor to another director? Is this something that happens? Like, yeah.
I've been lucky. I've had a lot of mentors, actually, at different kind of stages in my career, you know, particularly artistic directors in companies, which has been amazing. But also my peers. There's a group of female directors who all are very supportive of each other and kind of, you know, they're always there. You always know you can give them a call and ask advice if you're in a tricky spot or But then I also had a formal mentor. So I while I was working, I think it was when I was sort of at the end of when I was Richard Werrett Fellow at STC, and then when I was Associate Artistic Director at Queensland Theatre, I created this sort of pilot program for a three-tiered mentorship. So I mentored two emerging directors, and then I had someone mentor me at a more executive level. So I guess I was kind of, you know, looking at artistic leadership and what the, you know, tricky patches might be or where the glass ceiling kind of hits within theatre companies. And so I wanted someone who had that kind of board executive experience. And I was put in touch with a woman called Maureen Kerridge, an extraordinary woman. She's just passed, actually, very recently,
yes.
Which is, like, so incredibly sad. Such a great loss. She mentored many people, and she really did change my life. I guess she had so much knowledge and wisdom, and she gifted that to me in the most generous way. And then from there, I would then pass on that information to the people that I was mentoring, and we had this beautiful little bubble going, little cycle where we'd sort of filter information in and out of this thing, and it was really nice. But because it was a formal thing, Courtney and Jules, they always felt like they could call me. They never felt like it was, you know, going to impose on my time, or because it was a formal thing, it was it felt, and it was the same with Maureen, you know, I could give her a call because it was, we'd made it a formal relationship. And it was really wonderful. But then, you know, I guess, like, you kind of informally, I'm informally mentor a lot of people and are mentored by a lot of people.
Does that mentorship program still exist?
Well, the plan for it was that I would try and implant it into all of the companies in Australia. And sort of work it from there. But sort of I used myself as a pilot program for 2 years, and that sort of come to a close. But COVID sort of made things a little bit more difficult, but hopefully it can happen. Yeah.
It seems to me like you came in at the right point in terms of a new wave of directors and female directors. How do you survive?
I feel super lucky. I do feel like I really was right place, right time. It was, I think I was at NIDA the year, or was it the year after, you know, the infamous year where there was only Lee Lewis was the only female director in the Belvoir season.
Yes, yes.
And so it reignited that conversation again. And
I remember that moment on the stage. Belvoir.
It was an amazing moment in history. I can't believe I was there. And in theatre history. And so I felt like the industry was really proactive after that. And I was kind of just coming out and kind of making the right shows that I think people were interested in. And so I've been lucky, though, you know, the last few years I've worked within companies, and there's so few of those roles. Like, I feel so incredibly privileged. It's not, you know, that's not the same for everyone. It's a really tough industry to be in, particularly now. So, yeah, I feel like I've hit the jackpot.
Yeah, indeed. Well, Paige Rattray, thank you so much for joining me.
Pleasure. Thank you.
It's been such a joy. I look forward to seeing Queen Fatima return season, or I'll wait in line with everyone else for Sydney Festival.
Lots of fangirls too.
Absolutely, which
just
is a return.
Started the remount this week.
Yes, and so when is that coming up?
I think we open on the 3rd of Feb.
Return season. Excellent. Well, Paige, again, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that was director Paige Rattray, associate director at STC, directing Queen Fatima at Sydney Festival. You have to be on a wait list there. And look out for her coming up, Fangirls, at the Seymour Centre, previewing from the 30th of January and opening on the 3rd of February up until the 20th. So keep an eye out for that. It's Belvoir Theatre, but playing at the Seymour Centre.